going to sing tonight, but I'll sing in French. But I will translate that song before I sing it. It's a song about the love of Jesus Christ for us. My Savior loves me. What a firm assurance for my faith. The supreme love descends toward me. God came on the earth, living men of suffering. Seeing my misery, he opened his heart to me. Jesus, Jesus, who can fathom his love? Jesus, Jesus, I love you in return. My Savior loves me in spite of my unworthiness, always the same, full of mercy. He sees my suffering. He takes away my struggles. His immense love is my sure refuge. My Savior loves me as a precious jewel that he bears, as his diadem that he bears in heaven. His eternal life he shares with me. His immortal glory he offers to me. Mon sauveur m'aime, quel ferme appui pour ma foi, l'amour suprême descend vers moi. Dieu vint sur la terre, vivre en homme de douleur, voyant ma misère, il ouvre son cœur. Jésus, Jésus, qui peut sonder ton amour, Jésus, Jésus, je t'aime en retour. Mon sauveur m'aime, malgré mon indignité, toujours le même, plein de pitié. Il voit ma souffrance, il enlève mon souci, son amour immense est mon sûr abri. Mon sauveur m'aime comme un joyau précieux du diadème qu'il porte au ciel. Sa vie éternelle, il la partage avec moi. Sa gloire immortelle, il offre à moi. Jésus, Jésus, qui peut sonder son amour. Jésus, Jésus, je t'aime en retour. That's the song that I like to sing when I think about the love of Christ for me. Though we are saved, though we know the Lord, but we sin all the time. But he's there to forgive us, to cleanse us. And when we try to understand this love, it's just beyond our understanding. And that's the profound love of Jesus Christ we've been object of every day. What a blessing to be the object of that love. And tonight, before I open the Word of God with you, I want to share a little bit about Haiti, the cultural life and the spiritual life and the enemy of the gospel in Haiti. In Haiti, we have 11 million people, but census has not been done in the country for over 10 years. more than 10 years, I would say. There is a lot of speculation. Now they say that we have 14 million Haitians living in Haiti and 4 million living abroad. This is what I have as, I don't know if it's a fact or not, but this is what we have as knowledge about Haiti. In Haiti, we speak two official languages. We speak Haitian Creole and French. You know, Haiti was a French colony. But not everybody speaks French very well or speaks French. Because in order for people to speak French, you have to go to school. I mean, to speak a better French, you know, standard. But not everybody has the chance to go to school. And it makes it very hard for people to speak good French. But I can say, praise the Lord for sending me to school, right? I can speak Haitian Creole and French and limited English and limited Spanish. So that's all I know. In Haiti, we have three enemies of the gospel. The first one is voodoo. Voodoo permeates all aspects in our society. All aspects. Everything. People use voodoo, witchcraft. It's a devil, worship of the devil. And people use it to curse other people. And for instance, you can see a young man, brilliant, intelligent, going to school, but after 3 days you see this guy can't even learn anything. So people can use that witchcraft, voodoo, because it is the work of the devil. The demon is so real in Haiti. So they use this to destroy other people and even kill people with that ritual voodoo. So it is an enemy of the gospel. In what sense? When you're sharing the gospel in Haiti, some voodoo people, witchcraft doctor, they would go after you with their witchcraft, the spiritual things they do. Either they want to weaken you in what you're doing, or they're trying to throw curse at you. They do many things. But they testify that those who are true believers cannot be attained by what they do against them. But those who just go to church but have no relationship with God, with Christ, they can do whatever they want to do with their lives. And it is right. It is real in Haiti. And political people in Haiti would go to a witchcraft doctor to ask for chance, luck, and other things. So that they can be elected as president or senator or any position. That it is said of the Haitian politicians, in order for them to be president of Haiti or senator, they have to see a voodoo priest to give sacrifice to the devil and ask the devil to help them. And sometimes people say, well, I understand that it's okay because these people, they don't have education. What can you expect from them? Well, if you think that way, you're wrong. These people have high education. They've been even to Harvard here, to all big colleges here. And they've been to La Sorbonne in France, one of the highest universities in France. Of course, we speak French. That's where they are. To Canada, all these big universities. There is a huge Haitian population in Canada, especially in Montreal area. They speak French. So these people, they have high level of education. So if you are, you go to school, you go to university, you have to use what you've been learning, strategy or knowledge that you have to make it work for you and to be something in the society. You don't need to go to see a voodoo priest, a witchcraft doctor to give you a boost. Well, these people are in darkness. If you can think that way, if you can think that they shouldn't go to a voodoo priest, they shouldn't do this, it's because God has enlightened your eyes. You are a Christian. You are in the light. They are in darkness. You can see them. But if you are not a Christian, you wouldn't think that way. You would say, oh, it's okay, that's their life. Let them go. But these people are blind by the devil. They don't know any better. That's the life in Haiti. And we see political unrest all the time. Sometimes we think that as Haitian, we say, well, the devil is controlling these people, politician people, and rich people in the country as well. They control the politics, everything. These people, they have knowledge. They have high education. Why they can't take this country where it is? It's a poor country. Haiti is not poor. Because we have all the potential, everything, to be a rich country in the world. When you come to mine, we have a lot of mines. Even gas. I shouldn't say that on the pulpit, but if you go online, you can see it. But we have all this thing, gold, bauxite, all this thing. We have them. Mine you can use to do airplane, to do missile, a lot of things. Haiti is not a poor country as you think it. The soil can grow a lot of... But why? This country is so poor. Sometimes we think, say, well, maybe these people are blind. These politicians are so blind by the devil. If you are enlightened, I don't think you would act the way they act. And if they see someone else, another politician, trying to do good things for the society, some of them against him, that guy, because he will gain popularity and he will be reelected the next election. So it's so bad. It's so dark. That's the country. Just pray for this country. So unbelievers would use voodoo, witchcraft, when they do almost everything. If an unbeliever is building a school or a business, they will use witchcraft, voodoo, in that business. Either to draw more clients to them or to protect themselves from other voodoo attacks, satanic attack against them. So they use all these things in the society. And even our language. When we speak Creole, there are a lot of things that we say. They are voodoo things. Because voodoo has been there from the beginning of our beginning of the nation. And sometimes we don't even realize that we are using some languages that we shouldn't use as Christians. Because voodoo permeates very deep our society. So voodoo is so real in Haiti. And sometimes I share that with some American friends. They say, well, Jimmy, I understand what you're saying. I hear what you say, but I don't believe it. I don't believe in the voodoo stuff, in witchcraft. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, it is real. It's real. Would you say Satan does not exist? This is the work of the devil, of Satan. And we see it in the Bible. We see witchcraft in the Bible. We see the devil, the power of Satan. For instance, let's go to Pharaoh's palace. You see Moses stand with a stake in his hand on my right here. So what happened to the snakes when he dropped it? It became a snake. That was God in action. God commanded him to do. When you turn to your left, you see
Pharaoh, and he called his magicians, come here, show your power. And they have some snakes in their hand. They dropped them. They became what? Snakes. That was not in power. That was not God in power. It was not God. That was the devil in power. However, you can see the difference. See, what happened to Moses' snakes in relation to other snakes? He swallowed them. That's the power of God. But the devil is real. You see, the snakes became snakes. So it's happening in Haiti all the time. So it's real. It's a battle. It's a real warfare in Haiti. So it's an enemy for Christianity in Haiti. But we have another enemy. This enemy is Catholicism. In Haiti, when someone says that he is a Catholic, this person is practices witchcraft and can go to a voodoo priest and can offer sacrifices to the devil all the time. That's the life. It's a syncretism in Haiti. But in what sense it becomes an enemy? So when you go out to share the word of God with people, and some would say, well, I don't need to be a Christian. You see, this guy is a Christian and he's going to the voodoo priest. He's calling upon the name of the devil, you know. He's doing all these things. So I think I'm good. I don't want to be a Christian, a Catholic guy, and then to call upon the name of Jesus at the same time. And they say, well, because they believe that Catholicism is the real Christianity. And that's enemy when you go out to share the gospel. But I can tell you the greatest enemy of the gospel in Haiti is not voodoo, is not Catholicism, it is prosperity gospel. That's the greatest enemy. This movement presents a false Jesus. And this movement is taking over. They have big media, radio, everything, TV. And the song that the song people are singing on the street all the time. And this movement presents a false Jesus, a Jesus who can give you a wife, a husband, can give you money, can give you a visa. Jesus can give you everything. But they don't talk about salvation. They won't talk about heaven. They won't talk about repentance. They won't talk about the essence of the gospel. They won't talk about this thing. But they would say, well, if you come to Christ, you're going to have this. You're going to become this. You're going to be a rich person. Can Christ make someone poor rich? Of course, because he's God. He elevates and he put down. But is that the way the Bible presents the gospel? No. The Bible doesn't say that if you come to Christ, you're going to be a rich person. You're going to have all this comfort in the world. No. In fact, we see in the Bible that many people who came to Christ, they were very poor. Christ never said that if you come to him, you will be financially, materially rich. No. Yes, spiritually, you will be rich. But these people, they present a false Jesus. So, and people believe that this movement is the real Christianity. That is the Christianity. And when you go out to share the word of God with them, you say, no, this pastor is taking money from people all the time. He's asking people for money. So I don't want to be part of this group, so you want me to be there too? No. Especially educated people, they are thinking. They are observing what's going on in the society. Now, when you come to them, well, they will try to argue with you, to stay away from you. That's the real enemy of the gospel in Haiti. And sometimes these people, they twist the gospel for their own gain. For instance, they would take a passage in the Bible. Let me take a passage. They usually take the widow who had a little flour and oil, and she was about, that's the only thing she had, to bake and to eat and then later die because that's all she had. But the man of God came to her. She begged me first. And she did. That's a little flower. And she begged for him. But you can see the result, what happened later. She never lacked in flour and oil. So they would take this passage, they switch it, they twist it. Say, well, you say that widow, what she has done for the man of God. She gave everything for the man of God. And see, God has blessed her. So you can, God can do the same thing for you too. So if you are going to pay your rent, if you are going to the hospital, if whatever money you have, just bring it. Because God can multiply it 10 times more. You see, that's the way they twist it. And people, most of them, they don't think. They just bring everything to this guy. Because they know what they are doing. They are trying to manipulate people's mind. And they get what they want. People just would run. They would, I mean, this is one instance. They would take many in the Bible. See, God healed that lady. God healed this one. God can heal you too. Just bring money. And they just run to bring money for this guy. And they have big basket gathering money in the church. That's the way it is. Prosperity gospel. So when you go out to share that gospel, I mean the real gospel with people, well, they say, no. I mean, they will talk to you. The Haitian will talk. They are open. They will talk. But they say, well, see what this guy is doing. See. I don't think I would need to be part of that. That's a real enemy. Not voodoo. Not Catholicism. The real enemy is inside Christianity in Haiti. And apart from that, we know in Haiti, most churches don't believe in God's salvation by faith. Most of them believe in salvation by work. You have to do this, you have to do that, and you can lose your salvation at any time. If you sin, you do not repent, you're going to go to hell. I mean, that's the way it was. And I can give you a personal story. When I was growing up, I had a Bible. I've been reading my Bible all the time. I see that when you come to Christ, you are saved. But at the same time, when you have your pastor standing in front of you, teaching you that you can lose your salvation at any time, or you can know for sure that you are saved, all this, there is a confusion in your mind. You don't know where to stand, what to do. I'm reading this passage. He's telling me this, and this guy is telling me something else. Contradictions. Well, the climactic part of it is this. One day, I was in youth ministry, and the youth minister said that if you sin and you do not repent and Christ comes after 3 seconds or 3 minutes, you won't go to heaven. You won't be saved. That day, I was dead. And I said, who can go to heaven then? Here's my youth pastor. This is what he said. You can lose your salvation at any time. And let me tell you my prayer. At the time, I knew that I couldn't, I'm not going to make it to heaven at all. Because you sin, sometimes you don't even remember that. And or you don't know. You sin by commission or omission. You didn't know. And this pastor tells you all this thing. Well, my prayer for many months was like this. I say, Lord, whenever you see that my life is pure with you, whenever you see that I reach your standard of righteousness, please kill me. Yeah, that was... I pray like that for many months. Because I was told that I can lose my salvation at any time. And if Christ comes after a sin, I don't repent, I'm going to go to hell. Come on. I said, Lord, please. I was on my knees all the time. But that's just to name a few of things people don't believe in Haiti. And one time I was talking to a pastor. He said that he was talking about salvation. And I asked him, I said, what is salvation? He said, well, salvation is just like someone who goes to school. And at the end of the day, he really studied and did well. The teacher was, okay, you pass the class. You take the exam and you pass it. Okay, you do good. Just go to the next level. Do you understand that? It's a work-based salvation. So as you're here, you cannot know that you are saved. You can know anything. And if maybe you do good works, maybe at the end, God might say, okay, you did a good job. Let's go to heaven. Well, of course, I knew what he was saying was not biblical. And I was trying to challenge him as a young guy, a pastor for many years. So, and I said, well, I understand. That's a good way to put it. But could you prove it to me from the Bible? He couldn't. And he was so angry. You just come yesterday and you asked me about salvation. I said, no, I just wanted to show me what you just told me. He couldn't. So that's the way it is. They say things, but they can't prove it from the Bible. But when we talk about Christianity, whatever we say, it must come from the Bible. It's not our opinion, what we think, or what people say, to what the Bible says. Well, that's the way it is in my country. But when you go to Haiti as an American, you won't know that. You will go to a church. You see, a lot of people go to a Baptist church, but a lot of them don't really know Christ. That is true. You know, Haiti is a poor country. If people find comfort, you're talking to them, they would come. But you have to know how to go to their heart to speak the gospel to them. So that's the part of the country. So it's my prayer that God would send more people to preach the word of God in Haiti. So I will open the word of God, but before I do that, Pastor told me I could ask for one question if there is a question. But if not, it's okay. Okay, there is no question. That's good. Before I preach, I want to share some prayer requests with you. Please pray for more missionaries to go to Haiti. And if you feel like you have a heart for mission, but you don't know where to go, please think about Haiti. That might be your field. Pray for more missionaries. And pray for Haitian pastors. And they would have a vision of mission, advancement of the gospel in Haiti. When I was in Haiti, I didn't know anything about mission. I didn't know. Until my pastor came here to the United States and studied here and then went back to Haiti. Because most churches, they don't really know. Or they can say mission, but it's far away from the Bible. So pray the gospel would be preached effectively in Haiti. And pray for the leaders of Haiti. The country is so down. Recently, you saw violence in Haiti, riots on the streets. Why? Because politicians and rich people who have influence in the country have stolen more than $4 billion in 10 years. And you saw the whole nation stood up. They asked to drag these people to court and let them decay in prison. That's the word of the Haitian people. Well, that thing never happened. So, because this government is part of that corruption, he's not going to take his friends, his acolytes to prison, to court. So pray that God would raise good leaders. We have good people in the country, a lot of them here in the United States, in Canada, in Haiti, all over the place. They want to go to Haiti to help, but the system of Haiti keep them away. So pray that God would change the country. And pray for me. Pray for patience, You know, when you are on deputation, you want to go as soon as possible. But pray that God would give me patience, and pray that more churches would be willing to have me come to present my ministry for Haiti. And eventually, if it is God's will for them to take me on for support, pray for that. And now I am asking you to pray for material thing. My car has 230,000 miles on it, and it's shaking. Although the body is good, but the inside is shaking, and the engine light. So I'm praying that God would give me a better car that I can go to Haiti, to get to Haiti, SUV, to use it, because I cannot use just a little car in Haiti because of the condition of the wood. So pray for a good car in God's timing before this one is broken. Well, this morning, even this afternoon, many people asked me some questions, and I think these questions were very important. And I think that some of you might have the same question as well. People say, well, I see you, but I don't see your wife. What's going on with you? Are you married? Or many people ask me that, and I know some of you wanted to ask, but it's okay, I'm not going to ask him to personal question. Well, I'm still a single guy. I ask you that you would pray that God would lead me to someone who has a heart for the Lord, for ministry. I've met many, but they don't want to be in the ministry, so I stay away. Just pray for that. It's a concern. I want to be married. So I know many people have been asking me a lot. So the way I do it, I keep one knee on the ground and one knee up. I close one eye and I open one eye. That's the way I pray. So whenever I see her, I can run after her. So, so this is what I'm doing. Well, now I want you to open your Bible with me. Turn your Bible in the book of Romans, chapter 10. And I will see with you the biblical salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 14. Biblical salvation. We know there are many religions in this world. There are Shintoism, Buddhism, and Voodoo, Islam, many, many religions. And most of this religion has one thing in common. They present a humanistic way of salvation or a base of salvation. If you do good deeds, if you pray five times a day, if you do this, if you do that, God will give you eternal life or God will save you. That's the only thing they have in common. They present a work base of salvation. However, when you turn to the Bible, you see Christianity. And Christianity does not require a humanistic way of salvation. And Christianity does not present a work base of salvation. Christianity presents faith in Jesus Christ alone. And that is why I'm sharing with you tonight the biblical salvation, what the Bible says about salvation. And I'm going to read with you, for you, in Romans chapter 10. There are many passages that describe this biblical salvation, and Romans 10 is one of them. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Here is the word of faith. That if thou shalt confess with thy heart the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, what is the result? Thou shalt be saved. For with For with the heart, he's explaining, for with the heart men believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? This passage explains clearly biblical salvation. And when we talk about biblical salvation, we have to see three important words. And those words are found here in that passage. And the first one is confession. And the second one is belief or to believe. And the third one is to call on or call upon. When we confess, what do? We confess, we say the same thing about a thing or a person. We acknowledge something, either publicly or privately, but about a person. For instance, this microphone is a black microphone. If you say that microphone is white, you don't make a good confession about that microphone because it's black. So when you confess, you say the same thing, you acknowledge the same thing about someone or about something. What about belief? Belief is to trust something and to, you have a hard conviction that something is true and you can trust it. For instance, when you travel from here to Miami, you take an airplane. But if you know in advance that as soon as you take that airplane and it was going to crash, would you still take that airplane to Miami? No. And I was driving in Arizona, Mississippi area, and I was driving for the first time 80 miles per hour legally. You know, there was no fear in my heart when I was driving 80 miles per hour for many minutes, hours driving like that. There was no fear in my heart. Why? Because I believe in something. I believe that as soon as I want my car to stop, the brake will stop it. So the object of my faith was the brake. And when I pressed the brake, it stopped the car. That is a hard conviction to take this airplane, to drive 80 miles or 90 miles per hour. So when we talk about biblical salvation, we have to see this word. We have to confess something or someone. We have to believe in someone or something. And that is why I'm going to see with you the necessity of Jesus Christ in biblical salvation. The necessity of Jesus Christ. If you see this passage, what is the object of this word? If you confess who? The Lord Jesus. If you believe that God raised who? Jesus Christ. So the object of this word is Jesus Christ. So in biblical salvation, it is necessary that we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, as the Supreme One, as the highest one, as God. We confess Him as the Savior, as the Messiah. We have to confess Him. It is necessary that we confess Jesus Christ. Not only we confess, but in verse 8 we see, if thou believe with thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you can see the result. So we must believe in Jesus Christ for biblical salvation. Apart from Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. It is necessary for you and I. Don't you hear sometimes people say, well, I love God, I believe in God, He's my Savior, but don't talk to me about your Jesus Christ. Talk to me about anything else, but no Jesus Christ. Stay away with your Jesus. Don't you hear that sometimes? Let me tell you, those who say this word are those who are perishing, are those who are on the way to hell. Because the Word of God says, we must confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We must believe Jesus Christ. And Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's saying that I am the exclusive way. I am the exclusive life. I am the only one. And see the other part. No one come to the Father except by me. How can you avoid someone or the way, the means by which you can reach a place? If you want to cross a bridge or a river, you don't have a boat, you have to get maybe a bridge. But if you don't have any of them, how can you get to the other side? If you have no means to cross that river. So it's the same. How can you go to heaven without that mean? Jesus Christ. But people say, well, talk to me about God, but don't talk to me about Jesus Christ. I don't believe it. My brothers and sisters, there is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. If you do not believe in Him, if you do not confess Him as Lord, as Savior, you cannot have salvation. You cannot hope to see God face to face, to be in heaven. It is necessary that the world believes in Jesus Christ. It is necessary that American people believe in Jesus Christ, confess Jesus Christ as Lord. The Haitian people, French people, Russian, the whole world, because the whole world is under sin. And Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. It is necessary. When we say something is necessary, what do we mean? You know, something can be important, but not necessary. For instance, can you live without an eye? Of course. Can you live without some teeth? Of course. My father is 79 years old, almost 80. He lost some teeth, some original teeth, but he's still alive. These teeth are important for him to stay alive, but they are not necessary to keep him in existence. But can someone live without the heart? The brain, you'll die. Because you cannot live without your heart. The heart is necessary to keep you in existence. So when we talk about necessity, we talk about inevitability. When we say something is necessary, we say that this thing is unavoidable, indispensable, sine qua non, unavoidable, inevitable. So in biblical salvation, Jesus Christ is indispensable, unavoidable, sine qua non. We have to believe in Jesus Christ. We must. It's not optional. We must. If the world is rejecting Jesus Christ, it's because they are perishing. It's because they don't know the Father. Because you cannot have the Father without Christ. And John makes it very clear. 1 John, 2 John, it's so clear. And the Gospel of John is so clear. That Jesus Christ is the only way to God. And now you're telling me, I don't want to believe in Christ. I don't want to believe in Him for salvation. If you think that way, knowing that you don't know God the Father at all. Because John said, you cannot have the Father if you don't have the Son. How can you have the Father without the Son? You must believe in Jesus Christ. So it is necessary for people to believe in Jesus Christ. So that is why we see the necessity of Jesus Christ, of the Lord in biblical salvation. And we see the necessity of Jesus Christ in salvation. Now, I want to see with you the availability of biblical salvation. If you understand this book, Paul is presenting his argument that the whole world is under sin. And now here, Paul was talking to the Jew and now to the Greek, the Gentile. And in this pronoun, in verse 9, it says, if thou shalt confess. And later on, he said, whoever confess Jesus Christ. And later he says, the Lord is rich for all who calls upon his name, for all. Underline this word. So what Paul is saying here, the biblical salvation is available to the whole world. He used proper pronoun, now and definite pronoun. Anyone, whoever, comes to Christ. He didn't say only the Greek, the Jews, the whole world. Why? Because the whole world is under sin. And we saw it in chapter 3, verse 10. There is none, no, not one. There is none, no, not one. Paul is explaining the universality of sin. The whole world is under sin. And now because the whole world is under sin, and there is only one way, there is only one way of salvation, way to go to heaven, and this is Christ alone. And this Christ is available to the whole world. If you come, you confess him, you believe in him, there is salvation. So this salvation is available to everyone, to the Haitian who are worshiping the devil right now. As we are here, we are preaching, we are singing, hallelujah. Many in Haiti, they go to a voodoo place to worship the devil, to offer sacrifices to the devil. But these people can be saved if they come to Jesus Christ, if they confess, because salvation is available to them. Is available to Americans, to the whole world, all sinners in the world. Paul wasn't talking about the universalism, that the whole world will go to heaven, because God is a good God. Eventually, we'll take the whole world to heaven. That's not true. And I know some people in my family, they heard the gospel and they rejected the gospel and they died. So if you say that the whole world will be in heaven, men, all of them, now you're telling me that the gospel, the word of God, the Bible is not reliable. It's not true. Because the verse 9 says that if, underline this word, that if thou shalt confess Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you see the result. But you have to see this word, if thou shalt confess. That means the implication, if you don't confess, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you won't be saved. So many people believe in that. Say, well, God is a good God. But Paul is not preaching that. Paul is preaching that if you come to Christ, salvation is available. You will be saved. Come and confess him as Lord. Come and believe that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation is found in him alone. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father except by me. We see the necessity of Jesus Christ, the availability of biblical salvation. Now, finally, I want to see with you the result of confessing Jesus Christ. The result of believing Jesus Christ. In verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy heart, with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, what is the result? Thou shalt be saved. Salvation is not a result of good works. It's not if you do this, if you do that, or if you pray 5 times a day, like this religion do. Salvation is rooted in faith alone, in Christ. When you believe in Christ, you have salvation. If thou confess him, thou shalt be saved. And in verse 10, Paul says, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. This is another result. Men believe with the result of righteousness. So what Paul is telling us here, when we come to Christ, we believe in him. His righteousness is given to us. Now we are righteous. But if you don't believe in him, there is no righteousness. So as if, I would say all of you here, We are children. You may not have a child. I don't have one. But I am a child. And our parents have a set of of rules. You have to respect. When I was growing up, I was told, don't curse, don't fight, and respect older people, respect everyone, even my peers, respect all of them, and call older people, older guy, uncle, older ladies, auntie. That was my life. So that was my life. And they would say, hey, you are a good child. You know, let's say that some children reach the father's or the parents' bar of righteousness. Let's acknowledge that. We suppose that. But let's go to God's bar of righteousness. Who can reach that bar of righteousness? Who can reach it? No one. So if you cannot reach it, now you are in trouble. Because in order for you to go to heaven, you have to be righteous. And Paul said there is no righteous. So Paul is telling us, when we come to Christ, we have righteousness. That's the result of belief. We believe unto righteousness. So how can people say that they are going to heaven and then they reject Jesus Christ? Where do they get that righteousness? You have to be righteous to go to heaven. And no one else on earth can give you that righteousness, Christ alone. Rejecting Christ, you're embracing God's wrath. So Paul is saying that there is a result when you believe in Christ, righteousness. And confession is made unto salvation. Of course, we use this word all the time. When someone is drowning in the ocean, that person has one option. That option is to call for help. Help, help! And if someone is passing by, he will rescue that perishing person. And when he rescues that person, he becomes the rescuer. And the perishing person, he's saved. He receives salvation. And this is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that we were perishing. We were drowning in our sin. God's wrath was upon us. Our destination was hell. But when we call upon the name of Jesus Christ, we have salvation. And that is why he is our rescuer, our savior. He gives us salvation. And that is why we say, we are saved, we are saved, hallelujah. We have hope to see him face because you are saved. It's because when you called upon his name, he came, he rescued you, to rescue you. The salvation is found in Christ alone. If we can stand here today, if we are here today, it's because one day Christ rescued us and keep us for his day when it comes for us. This is what Paul is telling us. But Paul is telling us in other things. In verse 13, people must believe anyone who calls upon the name of Jesus Christ. The result, that person will be saved. But now Paul is giving a series of rhetorical questions. He's saying, well, how can people call upon that Jesus Christ if they don't believe? In order for us to understand this series of rhetorical questions, we have to invert them. Paul is saying that people must call upon the name of Jesus Christ for salvation. But there must be senders. People are sent to preach the word of God, to proclaim the gospel. And we have the first sender. He's God the Father. And Jesus says that in John 20, 21, as my Father sent you, I know it in French, not in English, so I send you as well. This is what Jesus says. And in Acts chapter 13, verse 3, 4, we see the Holy Spirit sent people. And now the church must send people with a message. So Paul is saying, how can people preach if they are not sent? So we must send people to preach. Preach what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. And we talk, and we can use only this verse 9. If thou shalt confess Jesus Christ, if thou shalt believe in thy heart, thou shalt be saved. When we preach the word of God, people hear. And when they hear, either they reject it or they believe. If they believe, they will call upon the name for salvation. But they won't call if they don't hear about Jesus Christ. So our duty as Christians is to go out because we are sent by Jesus Christ. It's to go. We have to go to share the word of God to people. Now you can say, well, I want to share the word of God, but I don't know where to go to share the word of God. I don't know where to find sinners. I can give you some places to find sinners. Let's go here, Chicago. Let's go downtown Chicago, Las Vegas, New York. Let's go to Paris. Big cities, right? We'll find a lot of sinners. But let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, you don't need to go to these places to find sinners. You don't need to go to your town or your neighborhood to find sinners. Not your neighbor next door. Of course, we are called to go to these places. But I want you to understand that logic. If you go right here inside your house, you will find sinners. Maybe your daughter, your granddaughter, your son, your brother, your sister, your uncle, your aunt. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you know that if they die right now without Christ, they're going to be in hell? God wants you, wants me to go to share the word of God with them. As I said, God is not going to use a piece of stone or a piece of wood to speak for him. He can't do that because he's God. He wants to use you. And one thing I see that many grandparents, they call the grandchildren, and they have video chat all the time and talk with them. They talk about everything but the gospel. It seems that you don't understand what's going on here. What's the most important thing in life? Are you saying is education? Is money, fame, material? All these things will pass away. And you're going to die, you're going to leave them. But what if you die without Christ? That's a serious matter. That's your life. That's your grandchild's life. If it's not serious, that means the Bible is not serious. Hell is not serious. So that should be serious in your mind, in your spirit. Whenever you talk to your children, your granddaughter, your grandson, or talk to them about Christ. Of course, you cannot save them. You can't save them. But you share the word of God with them. The Holy Spirit will use his word and transform people's lives. So how can they call upon the name of Jesus Christ if they don't hear? Who's going to share that word? You, me. We are called to preach biblical salvation. And this biblical salvation is rooted in Christ alone. It is necessary for you and I to believe in Jesus Christ and to confess him for salvation. And that salvation is available to the whole world. When they come to Jesus Christ, they will have salvation. And this salvation is a result of faith in Christ alone. If you do not know him, you can know him tonight. It's very simple. Come and confess him as Lord, as Savior, and believe him. Heavenly Father, we thank you.